Apologies. I'm really unable to see anybody here because I'm just seeing a corner of a little phone because unfortunately I didn't, not so good with these things. And I better put it in the plug or my phone's going to run out. Just 1 second. Trying to get this to balance here. Going down. One more minute, please. Let's see. Trying to get it on an angle so I can sit down here. 1 second. One more second. Let's try to get it to work here. Okay. Am I visible?
Yes.
Okay. I have to stand up because if I sit down, it doesn't work. So we'll say it by Amida. I apologize to everybody for all these delays and technical problems. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the question of Bedikas. Given our situation, given the fact that these days most of us sell chametz. Sell chametz, the question is, are we actually required to do bedikas chametz? Or perhaps we're not required to do bedikas chametz. In the olden days, they didn't sell all their chametz. That's my question I want to discuss with you. As we go, forgive me. Are you on the Zoom? Who is this? How are you? Good. Yes. Okay, Yosef, I'm totally clueless. I'm in the middle of a Zoom, which I don't know how to do either. Do what you have to do. You have my blessing. Okay? Just keep me informed. She's not home, so I'll tell her to call when she gets back. Sorry. Yeah. Bye-bye. That was my techie, but he's not here, so I'm sorry. So is there a need to do bedikas chametz these days when we sell all our chametz? In the olden days, they didn't sell all their chametz. That's a question I think is a very important question. Of course, it's a question every year. How much more so this year when we have the corona crisis with difficult situations. The Gemara, the start of the Mishnah, the Abbeza Menal, the Tzachim, Oral Arba, also the Bokness of Chametz, Yohaneh. The Gemara tells us if a person in his house 30 days before Pesach, after Purim, he's required to check, even though he's not going to be home until after Pesach. And when does he have to do this? Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Tuf Lamed Vav, which the Brewer says, the night before you leave. Whenever you're leaving, the night before, you're required to do a Bedikas Chametz. That's what it says. That's what it says. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Lashon is interesting. It's in Tov Lamed Vav, Sif Gimel. Those who have a Mishnah Berurah should open up and see what it says there because it's very revealing. Lashon is as follows. Yisrael HaYotzei the base Eino Yehudi, so Shloshim Yom, leaves the Goy's house in 30 days. The Nichas Revayas Acher Be'ir, Zu, Aholach Le'acheres, going to a different city or a different house. Eino Tzorach Levar Beis Eino Yehudi. Not required to get rid of the Chometz, the non-Jewish house. So Yekayim Mitzvah's Be'ir, but also Bayis Acher. Move to another house, fulfill the Mitzvah Be'ir in the other house. But he's going to some other place, he's going on a boat, going on a safari. Some say the Chofas Be'ir takes effect within 30 days of Pesach. You have to get rid of the Chometz, even in the Goy's house, fulfill the Mitzvah Be'ir. That's quite remarkable. Get an impression from the Shulchan Aruch. You exist in a dependent obligation known as Be'ir Chometz. Even though you're not going to be anywhere near the Chometz, you're in a desert, in a safari, on a cruise, on a boat, doesn't matter. It's an obligation. Chometz Gara of Be'ir Chometz. Says the Ramah, Afal Pi Shein Yehudi Yikonis Bebayis Pesach, Yesh Omrim Shein Tzorach Yikonis Bo Ein Yehudi. And some say, don't have to do it. What's the source for all this? The Mordechai of Pesachim. Simin Tov Kuf Lamed Hey. Those who want to look it up can see it. The Mishnah Brura is to cut and chav Zion as its follows. What if someone has many houses? He's only obligated to check one house, but he's going out of the Goy's house, not coming back. His stomach is mafkir as chametz, like throwing the chametz into the street. And the chametz doesn't belong to him. No bal yiroyah. But he doesn't go to another house, going to the cruise or the boat or the desert. Yesh Misha Omer says, for the 30 days, he's required a mitzvah gavra, do a bedika and a beer. He won't fulfill it elsewhere. Go somewhere else, you don't have to. This is the Mishnah Brura, it's a cotton chav zayin. So what does that mean? So there's a Yesh Omer in the Ramah says, you're not required to do a bedika if the non-Jew moves in. Explains the Mishnah Brura as follows. Explains the Mishnah Brura as follows. Babir ain't a chobas aguf. There's no such thing. There's no chobas aguf of bedika. The whole point of bedika is simply to get rid of the chametz. The beer. Bedika is not a chovas aguf. There's no personal obligation to do a bedika. All you have to do is make sure that you don't own any chametz by checking it, by burning it. But for some reason you don't have it, you never owned any chametz the rest of your whole life. You never owned any chametz. Not required to buy chametz and then burn it. You don't have it, you don't have it. Why do you not have it anymore? Because you're mafkir. You will leave the house, everything is hefker. There's no chiyuv whatsoever. Nowadays, we typically sell all our chametz. We rent the place to the goy, and many people go away to not in this year, but to hotels or to relatives, and they rent out the place. They say, Mishnah Brura, are you required to check all our ba'asar, the rooms that you're going to sell to the goy? That's a very, very important question. What's it in? It's a machlokas. The Mekor Chaim and the Chayodim say you have to check. Why? Because right now, all our boss are both in Esa Chometz. Who cares you plan to sell it the next day? That's in your head. But since right now you haven't sold it yet, you have to do B'dikas Chometz in that house, irrespective of your plans to leave. Eis Atach Adorim Onimku and Rishus Yisrael. Fine. Then he quotes the Mishnah Brura, the Binyan Ola. Tough Lam and Beis. Excuse me. Tough Lam and Vav, Lam and Beis. As the Mishnah Brura, the Binyan Ola says, no, there's no requirement to do a Bedika in this kind of a case. Why? Look, what will happen when a person sells the Chometz the next day? He sells the Chometz. Like many of us do, on Erev Pesach, we sell the chametz. That itself, according to the Binyan Olam, is the fulfillment of Tashbisu Sa'or Mi Batecha. You haven't burned it, you haven't even thrown it into the ocean, but you've sold it. And we have the Chiyuv of Tashbisu, but the 2 words later it says, Tashbisu Sa'or Mi Batecha. So once you sell it to a guy, you fulfill Tashbisu. And therefore, what happens? You did a Bedikas Chametz. You leave a roll over for breakfast. Obviously, you're not going to burn that roll. You plan to eat it for breakfast. So too, instead of eating it for breakfast, you're going to sell it the next day to a guy. And this is what the Chasam Sofer said. But the Chasam Sofer still clings to a Chovas Gavra. And therefore he says, you plan to leave the whole Pesach, you're too lazy to do a bedikah on the whole house. Well, save one room. One room should not be rented out to the guy. So in that room, you can fulfill your Chovas Gavra of bedikas chametz. That's what the Chasam Sofer says. And this is the Pashut HaMinig. But you should be very careful when you sell the chametz, you're selling him everything, the entire room or the entire house. Not enough to say, I have chametz here, I have chametz there, I have it in the closet, I have it in a basement, I have it in a somewhere in a box. No, that would leave you with an obligation to bedikas chametz on the rest of your property. But if you rent the entire property explicitly, then you're okay. Includes the Mishnah Berurah. Even though it had to be mekel against the Chavos Das and against the Chai Adam, says the Mishnah Berurah, nonetheless, Hamocher b'yom Yud Gimel, Shapir Odif Tvei. It's better to sell the chametz on Yud Gimel. But this year, when Yud Dalet is Wednesday or Pesach, Gimel is Tuesday, someone who's not fulfilling the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz in his house is better selling it on Tuesday. That's why this year, Mitzvah Shem, you will have an early sale. Usually the early sale is done primarily for those who are going to Eretz Yisrael. Not too many people going to Eretz Yisrael this year. Maybe some are there already. But the primary reason for this year for the Yud Gimel would be in order to satisfy the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, that although the 14th would be good, it's better to do it on the 13th. Only one problem, Rabbi Osai. That is, the Mishnah Berurah is referring to a case where you sell the house to the guy. We don't do that. I represent many people. I don't sell anyone's house. That would be a mega real estate deal going into the, who knows? I can't even imagine the numbers. Rather, we rent to the guy. That makes sense. We rent to the guy. The guy gives us a down payment. He's renting. That makes sense. No one wants to sell their house to a guy. Too precious an asset for them. So we rent it. The problem is, renting may not work. I read you the words of the Mekor Chaim, the same Mekor Chaim as the Nesivis, writes in Siman Tov Lamed Zayin Gimel, Umaskir Beis Oliakon Tzorach Livdo. The Dafka Biyotim Beis Akon Potter Livdo Kitam Ain't no bias cloud. But mask, you know, schir is lo kanya, says the Gemara. And therefore, the person is his chametz, and he has to do a bedika. Because it says in Pesach of Daf Dalet, the maskir, the one who went to get out, chayav lived up. Wow. Now it's going to be a disaster. if the Chavos Das says, you still on the 14th, you're obviously required to check, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. That's even if you sell it on the 14th. Clearly, he holds you only rent it on the 14th. Even if you sell it on the 13th, you are required to do a full bedikah. So our minig is now a problem. How do we go against the Mekor Chaim? I think the answer is as follows. The Mekor Chaim writes in Tav Lamed Zayin, what's the shock? Because the chametz is his. The chametz is his. Even though the Magen Avraham says that the maskir, the one who's renting out the property, is mafkir, we're afraid. Lo hifkir b'leim shalein. afraid, if you're mafka something, it's not done b'lev sholem. That's a very relevant point, even right now. Right now, there are people who are trying to get rid of their obligation to be tovel and nukelim, but they bought nukelim they never made Pesach before. And one of the agents given is to be mafka the kli and to render it odorless. Says the Rav Avram, we're afraid. What the Baruch Haim says, he wasn't mafka b'lev sholem. Many, if you look at the Sefer Tefilas Kalim, both the Maral Diskin and others, if a person is mafkir his Kalim and he wants to borrow it back from Hefkir to use it anyway without acquiring it, many people say that's no good. But the fact that he's using it indicates that the Hefkir is a bluff. The basis for it in mafkir karmo v'chose v'zochebo. It is true, Shlomo Zalman Orbach was Mekel B'Shas HaTchak Godol. To do that, his precedent is Shemitah. Shemitah, we have this Chosman HaBir, supposed to mafkir whatever you have. You pull your mafkir, you put it outside of the street, you take it right back again. So on that basis, that precedent, he wants to be Mekel B'Shas HaTchak Godol. There were those who said that's no precedent, that's a special unique thing by Shemitah, wouldn't help anywhere else. But again, there's no alternative. You're Shlomo Zalman, Kedai Lishis B'Cholov. I believe Rabbi Shech the Shlita also was quoted as saying something along those lines. But others say you shouldn't do that. Number one, you should try to be mindful of the Keli, even if you're afraid to go to the Mikveh Kelim. Again, everyone is different. We think that maybe it's safe to go to the Mikveh Kelim, but you can go to a natural body of water. Many people in this Zoom conference live near an ocean, or live near a bay, or live near a lake, which is if it's Vilas Kalim, that's preferred. And even if you want to do this trick, you look in the Ramon Ilchas Vilas Kalim, says that you can do it based on Shulchan Aruch, in Endosim and Kufchof, you would gift it to a goy. That's the lesson of the Mechaber, the Ramon. The Mefarshim explained that a gift is only done by Kinyan Hakbar, and the goy picks it up. Problem is, these days, individuals don't want to be involved with anybody. They're afraid of the corona. So you might say, well, let's sell it to the guy. But how do you sell to the guy if you're not going to be having any contact with him? So these are two problems. So recently, just today, we tried to, last night and today, put together a legally binding form to be able to, number one, sell it, what we call situmta. Situmta means it's a matter of common usage. It's common usage to sell in that fashion. It's binding even according to the halacha. This is one way that it can be done. And we drafted a text which is used to sell things, which is apparently binding in American law, based on just a piece, an email. Called e-commerce, I'm told, that could be binding even without any money changing hands. In order to strengthen it, a second form was recently crafted. We can actually sell it. But how does the guy get the money to you? Something which is called PayPal. So we're planning things work out to gather individuals who want to sell their kalim to a non-Jew. We'll employ these two methods. Method of Situmta and the method of Kesef from PayPal. We plan to do it on Friday. I'm just mentioning it now when the Balaam Hilchos Chametz, but this is relevant given the Makor Chaim was said that we should try not to rely on Hefker because we're afraid not Mafker, but they've shown him, and particularly in our case where he's going to reuse those same Kalim, it's not so logical he's using a Hefker to complete. That's why that's even though Shlomo Zalman is making it in a pinch, presumably better to gift it or to sell it than to be machmir. That's all an aside. Now let's go back. Maybe the Makor Chaim is referring to a case where you were only mafkir your chametz. He's afraid he didn't really mean it. But today we sell our chametz, and we sell our chametz in a legally binding form. Many, many attorneys have seen the form that we use over literally 40-something years that I've been in this business,
selling chametz once a year on Erev Pesach, and they say that it's legally binding. Kinyanim is a shtar hashah. I'm told that there'll be a shir on this in a couple of days. I'm not going to go into it now. I have a shtar hashah online or an email. That's just a particular quirk this particular year. In any event, that's what it is. Of course, the question becomes, since the house is still his, he hasn't sold it, he's only rented it, then how is a chiyah bedikah eliminated? I believe, this is the reason, that the Kor Chaim in Tov Lamed Vav quotes as follows. Why are you putter if a goy comes in? Why? What happened to the mitzvahs chachamim to do a beer? The answer is, since the goy acquired it, it's like beer. That is beer. To give it to a goy, or to give it to throw it into a fire. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Now, he didn't say, as the Mishnah Berurah we saw earlier, that beer is not a chovas aguf, according to the Yeshayahu and Rama. No, he said there is a chovas aguf of tashbisu, but that chov can be fulfilled and discharged not just by throwing it into a fire, but throwing it down the toilet or throwing it to the ocean, as the Gemara has it, according to Rabbi Yudin and Rabbanan, respectively. I'll get to it a little later. But even by selling it, that's also a fulfillment of Tashbisu Sa'or Mibatechem. That's what you do. If someone is going on a trip, a safari or a cruise, he has no house. Why? Because he has to fulfill this Chovas Aguf of sorts. Yes, but what if he doesn't sell his Chomet? If he sells the Chomet, then he's fulfilling the Chovas Aguf of Tashbisu Sa'or Mibatechem by selling it to a Nachri. That's what we can do. And if you say that you cannot rely on Shem Sofa, it's not a Ben Sora or a Mora, you can't pat yourself with the Chiyuv Bedika on Leil Yudalit by your plan to sell it on Yom Yudalit. But even the Mekor Chaim should agree, if you sell the Chametz on Yom Yud Gimel, this is a fulfillment of Tashbisu, and exempts you from any obligation to do Bedikas Chometz on Leil Yudalit. That's why, to summarize, if you in fact sell on Yud Gimel, we believe that even the Mekor Chaim, was the biggest machmir, will agree that if you're selling it as opposed to being machmirim, that would suffice to exempt you from the chiyuv of Bedika. What about, that's the Ramah, there's no chiyuv. What about the Shulchan Aruch, who says there is a chiyuv based upon the Mordechai? Even though there's no Yisrael Bal Yeroa, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Tashbisu unless you actually burn it, throw it to the ocean, give it to a dog. He does not believe that if you mafkir it or sell it to a goy, that's not a chiyuv of mitzvah. You have not fulfilled the chiyuv bira. Although it says in the Torah, Tashbisu sar mi batechem, he's gedolim, go with an assumption. Doesn't mean just to give it to a non-Jew, for example. You have to get rid of it. Get rid of it completely. The Torah says no. Batechem. He's quoting his father, the Rosh. I quote the Rosh in Perek Bey, Simadal and Tzachim. V'lemocho l'nachri mutter, den tzorach l'ashbisa min ha'ola, elami beso. So therefore, as long as you sell it to a guy, you fulfill tashbisa. Now, many individuals burn their crumbs Erev Pesach in the morning, before the rabbi sells the chametz. Now, on a simple level, the final fulfillment of Tashbisu is when you get rid of all your chametz, the last kazayas. If you look at Moad and Buzmanim, or Shtermach Shlita, Kuf Taridal, he says so. According to the Torah, no problem. You burned it in the morning. Our burning is only what we call a Zecher. Zecher to the Shiva Rabbi Yehuda, Shon and Paschalite, ain't beer chametz ella b'sreifa. But fundamentally, you can fulfill it by getting rid of it any which way. Sell it to a goy, no problem, no problem. Okay, no problem. Without the way to defend the many of people who burn their 10 crumbs in the morning before the rabbi had a chance to sell it to a nachri. That's fine. We have a different explanation. It's true. Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you must burn the chametz only when in Shah Shishis. machlokas when Rabbi Yehuda requires burning. Rashi says v'shah shishis, and the Rosh says, what the Rashi in shah revius, the previous hour, igvit hashbasaso v'chol davar. Asks the Tur, the Rosh's son, in Siman Tov Mem Hey, it's against the Rashi that chav zayin and aleph. The quarter of Yehuda, Hayose b'shayara, someone who's going on a trip, a safari on the desert, he has to burn the chametz. Why must he burn the chametz? Why? Why must he burn the chametz? It's way before the fourth, before the sixth hour, the fifth hour, the fourth hour, 10 days before. Says the Beis Yosef, once you go on your safari, you no longer burn the chametz. It's for him the equivalent of the sixth hour. The equivalent of the sixth hour. The sixth hour doesn't mean the sixth hour. It's the last possible hour you're able to burn the chametz. Typically, it's the sixth hour. But someone going on a safari, so then he has to do it right then and there, the night before. So also said the korban asanal on that rush, Sivkot Mches. The Chachamim said, when you have to burn it, you must actually burn it, the same as no service mani surah. If that's the case, you have to fulfill, you have to burn it, according to Rashi, in the sixth hour, to fulfill the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because why? Why? We don't keep chametz into the seventh hour. There's an opinion of Mordechai, believe it or not, should dafka keep chametz into the seventh hour, you're risking tashbisu and bal yeroi, even according to some. But you want to burn it at the time when you're supposed to burn it, when you have to get rid of it. But that's what he says. But we don't do that. We burn it in the sixth hour. That's the last moment for us. We're afraid to take a chance. Wait till after Chatzos. Okay. But now you have a reason to burn it in the fifth hour. Why? It says in the Gemara, Bodek Tzorach Shivatam, meaning on Tuesday night, we should be Mavatam. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Lamed Daled to base quotes of custom do an additional bittul after you burn the chametz, sort of a kind of safety valve in case something went wrong, the mechira didn't go right, but something when you're missing something, you forgot something, do a bittul after you burn the chametz. That's what we try to do. If that's the case, we must burn in the fifth hour. We can no longer burn in the sixth hour. Why? But it says in the Gemara Beferish that once the sixth hour comes, the chametz is no longer yours. No longer yours, you cannot do any bittul. So our bittul must take place before the end of the fifth hour. So the fifth hour is now for us the equivalent of the original sixth hour, not much different than the Yotzi Mishayara, which is his last hour in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. And those who are machma like Rabbi Yehuda should try to do it with a fire. And it seems to me that in typical years, when you're afraid something is going to get lost, you can burn it even the night before. So it would appear there are more simitav memhei sif aleph. If you were to go to the shayara, it's the last time you have a chance to burn, you burn it then. So if you go into work on Erev Pesach, you can't do it in Shah Hamishis after the Mechira. So your last possible opportunity is to burn it earlier in the morning. Having said that, before I conclude the shiur, I advise everybody this year not to burn any chametz. In typical years, we get together in shul, there's a fire outside the shul, we hope it's safe, we burn the chametz in that way. Today, this year, given what we're in, quarantine, or self-quarantine, or semi-quarantine, I recommend nobody should start a fire and burn chametz. Chas v'shalom, it could be dangerous. You have to be careful of all dangers, not the coronavirus, but dangers of fires as well. But I would recommend for those who are able to do it in a preferred manner, which is to eliminate the chametz physically after the rabbi sold the chametz economically, if I may use that expression. Why? Because even though according to the tour and the rush, when you sell the chametz to the non-Jew, you fulfill thereby Hashvis Samir Batechem, there are some who disagree, maybe prefer to dispose of it. For example, I know what I do, I only keep the 10 crumbs. Everything else we sold to the guy, the 10 crumbs we don't sell. Those 10 crumbs, the small little crumbs, I believe it's safe to one at a time if necessary to flush them down the toilet. If the plumber says I'm wrong, don't do it that way. Let's get rid of it some other way. But it would be preferred to do that after the sale is complete. This way, the person is getting rid of his last comments physically, albeit not through Sreva this year, but as it says in the Gemara, Rabban, Agat, Rabbi Yehuda, throw it to the Yam, and this goes to the Yam. This is the way it should be done. So just to summarize, we've spoken about the kula to not do B'dikas Chametz in a situation in which you're selling your Chametz. If you, it's preferred to do it on the 13th, but Mikra Adin is going on the 14th as well. What we haven't discussed yet is the question of a person who wishes to fulfill this so-called Chovas Gavra, which the Ramos says doesn't exist, by, for example, leaving out one room, as the Chasam Sofer suggested. How is this coordinated with the Mechiras Chametz? What rooms do you sell? Don't you? They sell them in rent. Do you and don't you? That's for another time. I apologize again for my technical shortcomings. I'm not sure if you're able to see me or hear me. I'm only in a little tiny box in the right corner, bottom corner of my phone. But I thank Yudido Reese for arranging this. And if it's going to be done another time, hope to be on a full computer with full Zoom access. I'll be able to see you as well. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yudido.